I was going to read a whole bunch of verses. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read you one verse, and then we're going to jump into a lot of scripture with them. As far as I know, as of today, this will be our last message about the body, but this is as important as any one we've preached. As we looked at last week, that the body functions as everybody does its part. And all of a sudden you begin thinking, what is my part? What do I do in the body? You know, the Minnesota Vikings used to have a guy that was really popular. His name was Bob Lertzema, but they called him Benchwarmer Bob. He never got in the game. Just ask me a question. How many of you feel like you're in the spiritual working of Christ? How many feel that you have a purpose and God has a plan? I was going to preach something. I didn't think I'd be here this morning preaching this message, but God started talking to me about love, and then he started talking to me about 1 Corinthians 14:1. And so we're just going to take three words out of 14:1. Love, desire, and prophecy. The Bible says this: pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you prophesy. Desire love, or pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you prophesy. Let's look at pursue love. The Bible talks about four different kinds of love. Love, especially the God love, is a lot deeper than just tolerating somebody. You know, I'm sure that probably every one of us here have people that we tolerate, but we hope they don't show up too often. By your silence, I can tell we're close. The four types of love mentioned in the Bible, I'm just going to go over them in my order. The first one is eros. Eros is a self-satisfying, self-seeking, self-pleasing, erotic, sensual type of love. The Bible mentions that. It demands. It comes from selfish desire. When you read the Bible and it says that people are going to be without natural affection, it's talking about eros. The second type of love is stergo, if I pronounce it right. A love that begins and stays in a family between parents and children. It's family companionship. It's different than eros. It also can be between Fluffy and me. It can be between you and a pet, or a pet and you. Not anything sexual, just simply that you have great affection for your pets. Very interesting. You say, how do you find that out? I looked it up. I'll spell it for you. You pronounce it any way you like. It's S-T-E-R-G-O. How do you pronounce that, Kirk?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. It's sure. That's how you pronounce it. It's very interesting. Because it's actually strong family devotion. If you have a functional home, you have strong family devotion. You may beat your brothers and sisters a tire out of them, but don't let anybody else try. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you don't mess in that family squabble because they know how to do it. And if you get into it, you're going to end up wounded. The third one is filio. It's love as a friendship. It's affection. It's people being compatible, complementing each other. How many remember when Jesus went to Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" How many remember that? John, I believe it's John 20, 21. And it's very interesting because most of your translations won't tell you that. But Jesus was saying, and we're going to look up agape, which is God's love. Jesus was saying to Peter, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter was saying, "Lord, I phileo you." God is saying, "Peter, do you love me with a God-given, unconditional love?" And Peter was responding, "I love you as a friend. I have affection for you." And we have a lot of friends, people do. And a lot of them are phileo. You have affection for them. You would say, "Hey, yeah, I love them," but it's more of a friendship. And then there's God's love. This is the one that 1 Corinthians 14:1 talks about. Pursue God's love. Agape. The greatest place where, besides 1 Corinthians 13, where agape is used is John 3:16. What does it say? "For God so loved." This kind of love has no limits, no borders, no boundaries. It's unconditional. The very interesting part of it is there's no strings attached. God just simply loves you. You can't earn it, and you can choose to go to hell. The unsaved people, God will still love them there. It never ends. And that's what Paul is talking about. We as humans have learned to love at times conditionally. Maybe you were raised with that. If you meet everything, if you do everything you're supposed to, if the farm work's all done, if the wood was carried in, if water was carried in before running water, if all this stuff was done, then we love you. But if you don't, some people live under that thing, "If you satisfy my needs, I love you. If you don't satisfy my needs, you're just like anybody else." God's not that way. God doesn't love you based on your choice. God loves you based on His choice. And it's not conditional. You may deal with some issues about love. And you may deal with some issues about how do I respond to what's going on and how do I respond to what's happening. Respond with Christ's love. Just absolutely respond by doing and acting and hearing what God would do. More people respond to God's love than they do to hellfire and brimstone preaching. They really do. There is a hell. I'm not going to deny that. But people want to know how much God cares for them. People want to know, how much does God love me? Does God care if I have a bad day? Does God care if things are falling apart? Does God care? I got a video about this gal in Sioux Falls. She was going to some college when her folks were killed. The only reason she wasn't killed is she wasn't with them. And love broke out all around her. Because people heard from God and cared and went to minister to her. People say, well, I wouldn't know what to say. You know something? Sometimes you don't have to say anything.
Right.
Sit there, be there, and wait till they have some questions. Wait till they need something. Because if you don't know what to say, it's better not to say anything. And if you don't know what to do, it's better to say do nothing. When I went through it with my mom and dad, people would come and say, well, I know how you feel. And I'd feel like asking him, well, how many people in your family was killed in the car accident? I wasn't rude. I guess I was loving for a change. But we come to a place where God wants us, everything we do, to be done in love. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Are you with me, or did you want to be dismissed? Just kind of thinking, man, I'm preaching good. No. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show you what agape love is. Verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind, or love is patient. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not selfish, is not easily provoked or angered. It thinks no evil. Let me ask you a question. You ever think of getting even with somebody? All of you? Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Or let me read what I wrote down. If you have the NIV, this is what it says. Go to page 2. Love is not rude. Love is not easily angered. Love is not self-seeking. Love keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, it forgives. Love rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Can I tell you something? When you get hurt, anybody ever been hurt by anybody? Really? You got hurt? You got your arm around a pretty woman and you got hurt. Wow. Otherwise, I'd have no ammunition, would I? Good deal. You know when you get hurt and you want to draw back? And you want to just say, I throw up my hands, it's over, this. Think of what Jesus would do. I thought of this and I could never figure it out except through his agape love. He worked with 12 guys. One would absolutely betray him. One would absolutely deny him. And 9 would run away. And yet he invested 3.5 years of his life into them, preparing them for what was coming. When things happen to us, we never know what the end result's going to be until it happens. And God says, you're going to do more by loving them than kicking them out, casting them away. protecting yourself. If you have truly, truly loved people, you will get hurt. But what's the alternative? Just being self-centered and draw everything in and not care? Can't do that. Can't do that. I got a call from a pastor, 77 years old, last night. Judy and I were talking. She wanted to know how old he was, so I asked him, how old are you? 77, still pastoring. And he's been hurt. Really? In the ministry? Somebody get hurt? Come on. This is a work on Sunday and golf the rest of the week job. You heard it, Halbert. You heard it first here. This is better than Fox. And things were going down and the church was struggling and he finally said, Dwight, I think I'm going to resign. And I said, buddy, just pray about it. Do you realize almost every pastor used to almost resign after Sunday? Monday is wore out day and you want to resign, and that's why I don't go to Jorgensen's and get beat up by Curtis. Thursday, I got 3 days to get ready for it. You know, by then my shoulders are big and I can handle the stuff that comes. And he said, Dwight, I just called for prayer. And I said, let's pray. Because I want to tell you something. Just because you're filled with love doesn't mean you don't get hurt or sometimes you don't get discouraged. Listen to me. You're human, but you're still spiritual. So pursue that love because God's crazy about you. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And I honestly believe if you compare Galatians 5:22 to 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to find pretty much the same characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit and love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's all here. Walk it out. Somebody hurts you, love anyway. Somebody says something about you, love anyway. Somebody does something to your family, love them anyway. Love the way you're shouting. Love them. Praise God. Desire spiritual gifts. The word desire is very interesting. It means crave. It means earnestly seek. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, how many of you asked God this week for the gifts of the Spirit? Just God, use me with whatever. Minister through me with whatever. I want to look at you. I want you to look at me and I want to look at you. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I'll talk this way. Why would he put pursue love and desire spiritual gifts? I'm going to tell you why. Because if you truly love, you will want to minister. Someone, some way, not always up here preaching, but you want to touch somebody's life. Everyone in this group, every single one of you, need to be loved and you need to give love. And you need to be ministered to, and don't stop there, and you need to minister to someone. It's all part of the body. We honor the head as we follow what he teaches us. And you may say, well, I really never knew I could, or I really never knew that's what God's plan was. God's plan isn't for uniformity. God's plan is for unity. God's plan is not we all look alike and we act alike and we do this. I was talking to Stan the other day, and he mentioned something about thinking alike, and I said, yeah, if you and I think alike, one of us is not necessary. You know, if we're all alike in every area, they don't need me. Being alike is uniformity. Being one and focus and ministry because of Jesus is unity. And God wants us so united that whatever He's called us to do and whatever He's placed within us, He wants you to go another step higher. Thank you. Anybody else want to say amen? I'm getting scared. And so He takes you step by step by step. Look at this with me in 1 Corinthians 12. You're not very far away from it. Verse number 7. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to build up the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit that God is using in us is to edify, build up, strengthen, and encourage the body. That's what it is. Whatever gift you have, it's not about a badge of superiority. It's not about a badge that I found favor with God. Everybody found favor with God. Every one of you. And if you don't believe that, you got to get on the right foundation. That grace foundation with love undergirds everything God's doing in your life. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, another faith, another gifts of healing, another working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Please, don't just think I'm yelling at you today. Think there's something here that God wants to do in your life. God absolutely wants to empower you and give you wisdom and knowledge in daily life things and in the body of Christ to deal with situations that you'd have no idea how to deal with. No idea. I'm healed. I can bend. That hurt. And so God says, can you accept this? Can you accept the fact that the gifts of the Spirit is about God's grace plan for you? Being what He's called you to be and doing what He's called you to do, He wants to fill you so that you are not blindsided by a lot of stuff that's coming around you or coming at the job or coming in the church. But you have wisdom and knowledge and guidance and direction into that. Now, some people say, well, these are the only gifts. I don't believe so. I think there's something else He wants you to look at. And it might not be so much up front, but it's very important to the body of Christ. It is found in Romans 12. And somebody entitled it the gifts of grace, or somebody entitled it motivational gifts. You can entitle it what you want. But there are things in here that God has placed within you, and that's what you are, and that's what you do. Verse 6, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now you can see why some people call them the gifts of grace. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, and that word is service. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring preference, giving preference to one over another. Giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, to distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Gifts. Very different gifts. The gift of giving, the gift of teaching, the gift of doing this, the gift of prophecy is not being a prophet. It's doing what God has blessed you with. Look at me for a moment. How many of you are willing just to allow God to use you in the way that He picks? One. I'm going to start over. Two, three. Oh, I didn't. Raise an eyebrow. You know your best time in your life, you know when that is? Is when God is just informing you and using you and touching your life. And you may have things around you going astray, and pray you don't have things like Autumn had, but some of you have been there. And now it's changing. Why did it change? Because you were faithful where you were. Things change. They really do. And you know something? God never changed His thoughts about you from then till now. He's loved you equally. But time has a way with the presence of God to change situations. So what a privilege. And we've said it before, there's people around you that you prayed about. There may be family members that you prayed about, and you don't have a clue how to reach them, but God does. God does. And so as you just sit there, and I just have a way of doing something. I did it the other day. I was getting into a situation, and I just said, God, you know the total outcome of this. You know what's happening here. Would you please take time and just show me what you know that I don't know? God has a way of doing that. So pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you prophesy. Isn't that interesting you put that there? You say, why would God would do that? Why would God do that? Well, prophecy is always in the tongue of the people that you're ministering to. So people understand it. Or prophecy and tongues interpretation are equal. The Bible says prophecy is greater than tongues unless there's an interpreter. There are times in your life and my life, whether it's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, that we need to hear from God. Just need to hear from God. I was doing something this morning. I'm not going to go into detail. And I drove by somebody and the Lord said, stop and go back. I said, but I'm getting late. Stop and go back. So I did. Something happened. And it ended up good. But I need to hear that. Are there times I argue with God? Yeah. There are times I'm stupid. Don't say Matthew, don't say amen too loud.
I'm not.
And there are times we think we're in a hurry. There's time, you know, when I'm in the most hurry and I think I got to get this done and got to be, that's the time God says, I want you to do something else. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just God. God's saying, do you really want to grow in this or do you just want to do your own thing? Stop. Pay attention. Do it. Worked out good. Same in you. When you're going to be the busiest, somebody said, if you want somebody to do the job, get a busy person. They know how to get it done. Prophecy. Prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort, the Bible says. It's to build up, encourage, and to comfort. Every time the body of Christ meets, even if there's only one person there, there are needs. And somebody needs to hear a word of God and a word from God. And I need to be, and hopefully you want to be, prepared to step into as God leads you to minister one to another. You see, friends, this is his body. And we need to hear and listen to one another what God is saying. Not what I'm thinking and not even what I did or not a lot of stuff like this. What is God saying to us? Prophecy is not sharing what my week was like. Prophesying is saying what God said. God spoke to me. God touched me. His word was in me, and I spoke it out. Word of knowledge was like Kirk was used this morning. And Stephen, realign. God speaks to us so he gets glory. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm closing, but I want to pray. How many of you will tell God this morning, by telling God you're going to stand and say, God, put in me the gift or the gifts or all the gifts. You see, they're not mine. They're still the Holy Spirit's. But he uses us with them. He ministers to us with them. And if you're looking at God and saying, God, this is my heart's desire. I want more of you, and I want to see your heart in situations. I want to know your mind in situations, and I'll take whatever you give me. I started out with tongues because that was easier. I didn't have any responsibility. I could give a tongue and sit there and hope somebody would interpret. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's hard when nobody has a gift and then the Bible says, you interpret. I didn't think about that part of it. If you want prayer for that, just to receive Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, stand with me. Just stand with me. Father, I just pray right now for these who are standing. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just minister to them, absolutely touch them, bring to them these gifts. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God, which was in you through the laying on of hands. Stir up the gifts that are in them. Let them flow and let them minister and let them be used by you for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Have a great day.